Lord, thank you that you've already spoken so clearly this morning. And Father, we just bless you and we say thank you that you are so, so good and you're so much better than we can ever think or imagine, God. So we thank you, Father, that this morning, Lord, yeah, that you're going to lift us up to see the way you see, God. I thank you, Father, that there will be decisions that will be made easier this morning, God. I thank you, Father, for those. I just feel God is saying it came up in intercession as well, that there are some people that it's almost in the valley of decision. They need to make decisions, and you're struggling. And I'm saying this morning, as you walk out of here, you're going to know what my will is for you in that area. So we thank you, Father, for clarity. Thank you for hope that will be restored because we're going to see the way you see, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're gonna read from Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah 29. If you want to open there, you're welcome. Otherwise, I do have the slides up there. But we pick up the story when Jeremiah is a prophet, obviously, and he's writing a letter to the Jews who are in captivity in Babylon. So all of the Jews were taken out of their homeland, their city, the high point of the Jewish people, their pride and joy, Jerusalem. They have been taken captive and now have to live in Babylon. But there's a couple of them that stayed behind that were not taken captive to go to Babylon. And Jeremiah is one of them staying in Jerusalem. So he's writing a letter and he's saying to the Jews who are in captivity in Babylon, listen, I've got a word from the Lord for you. Okay, and so we're going to read this letter, but you need to understand that he's writing it to the Jews. The Jews are in captivity. They are under the Babylonian reign, who is not Christians. They are not people who believe in the same God as the Jews do. They don't believe in our God. So they are not in their promised land. They are not free. They are captive. They are in a bad situation. They are not comfortable. They are feeling challenged, they are in a difficult situation, and he's writing this letter to them over there, okay? Now, we all know we all have some form of captivity sometimes in our lives, okay? So when we are in a difficult situation, when we are in a challenging situation, we normally want the Word of God to say, you are going to be freed up. I'm going to release you. I'm going to release that boss that's difficult. I'm going to take that boss away. I'm going to give you a new job. I'm going to give you a new house, whatever it is that you feeling this is captivity. But I want us to hear what God is saying to the Jews who are in captivity in Babylon. Okay, so we're going to read Jeremiah 29, verse 4. It says there, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay, there's the first thing. God is saying, I'm in your captivity. That's rough, because normally we think it's only the devil that causes captivity. In this case, look, we can look back and we can see the Jews had a finger in the pie. They were not loyal to God, but the Lord allowed them to be taken captive. Okay, verse 5. This is what God is saying. The Lord of hosts, this is what he's saying to them. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them to you, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts, this is the verse we all know very well, eh? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We're only going to read today. I think if you've been a Christian, even if you haven't been a Christian, there's some verses that we all know. And this Jeremiah 29:11, we all know that God's thoughts towards us is to give us a hope and a future. But in this case, I don't know if we all realize that his thoughts towards us, towards the Jews, was to give them a hope and a future while they are in captivity, while they're in Babylon, while they're not yet back to their promised land, their Jerusalem. God is saying there, where it's difficult, where it's challenging, where you have a Babylonian reign who is not serving God over you, and you need to submit to them because you are living in their city, in their place. That is where I have thoughts to bless you. I read a blog post, Pastor Ross, you all know Pastor Ross from the Shofar Durbanville Church. He's a good friend of ours, and he writes so well. He's just, I don't know where the man finds time. I mean, he writes books in his sleep, but he's phenomenal. But he wrote a blog post. I enjoy reading his blogs. And he wrote a blog post a couple of weeks ago on stability, on this notion that we live in a very mobile culture where we're just up and out. We move from job to job. We move from city to city, and we are not really setting down roots anymore. And he just, he explained, he had a couple of books that he's read on the subject. He calls it stability. And just the impact that this uprooting, this extremely mobile culture that we live in, the impact it's got on just, if you don't even think spiritually, but on our emotions, the anxiety of moving. I mean, they say moving is as stressful as getting a divorce almost. I haven't gotten a divorce, so I wouldn't know. But moving is stressful, you know, and in this culture of just upping and he wrote this blog post, and I want to read you some parts of it. He says there, our world is driven by the lie that the good life is out there, running relentlessly towards the ever-evading pot of gold at the rainbow's end. Our upwardly mobile culture always wants more, driven by billions of dollars in marketing campaigns. In Christian circles, we don't easily acknowledge greed as our motive for moving on. Ish. I'm going to pause there for a little bit. I don't think I need to say much more on that. In Christian circles, we won't easily acknowledge greed. What is greed? Greed is, I need more. Geldgierigheid. Not even just for geld. It's not always about money. It's about wanting something better, something more. It's not enough. I want a better husband, a better wife, a better, more. We say, we carry on there, we say God, we don't acknowledge that greed is our motive. We say God has opened a door to bless me elsewhere. But the underlying motive is the same. God's blessing is not here. It's over there at that job, in that place, with those people. We don't trust that God can or will bless us where we are now. So to enjoy a better life, I must move on because the good life is not here. If you know Ross a little bit, you guys have had him here. He's a straight shooter. I like it. He says it as it is. He doesn't struggle to take on the difficult subjects. But, you know, he touches on this lie that I've been challenged with. So this morning I'm preaching more to me, I think, than to you. The lie that if I can just be closer to school, if my kids can just walk to school so I don't have to drive up and down, then, you know, if I could just have so much money, if I can just have that promotion, if I can just be in those friendship groups, you know, you fill in the blanks. If I can just live in that neighborhood, then everything will be okay. Then God will bless me. But underlying, the enemy is causing us to not believe that God is saying, in this, right there where you are now, I can and I want to bless you. Do you believe that? It's fascinating to me how we watched a movie called I think it's Inside Out. Have you guys seen that? It's a cartoon. Okay, it's a cartoon. Okay, has anybody seen it? Inside Out. Okay, the couple of you. It's a cartoon. It's an animation. I suppose cartoon, we all think of Mickey Mouse when I was 10 years old. It's an animation. If you haven't watched it, it's really, really, really well done. But it's an animation about the emotion. So it's like the inside of an 11-year-old girl's emotional world. And there's all these emojis. Richard has spoken about it. And, you know, this little girl is growing up. Anybody that's grown up or gone through puberty or teenage years, you have forgotten. But if you have a child, you know it can be quite intense. It's a fun ride. But the emotional world and the extreme emotions that this little girl is experiencing, and right at the end of the story, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but she kind of experiences they have to move to San Francisco for the dad's job. So this little girl has to move to a new place. She needs to make new friends. She needs to go to a new school. She needs to walk to school, get on a new bus to get to a new school. She has to get a new basketball team. It's all new, and she's struggling to cope with all of this. And at the end of the movie, she bursts out. Look, she rebelled and she's walking off. And the mom and dad says, but where's my happy little girl? And the happy little girl is not there anymore because she's wrestling through all of these emotions. And the end of the movie, she breaks down and she tells her mom and dad, I'm really sad. I miss my friends. I miss my school. I miss our old home. And I realized, Rich and I spoke about it afterwards, even the impact of us uprooting this, what Ross is speaking about, the mobile culture, that the better life is over there, the impact it's got on our children. And I'm not saying God is not going to move you. God will do what God wants to do. But I do want to challenge you this morning, is it God or is it me looking for something else? The better life, the more, the whatever. Is it really God? Because my dad says a thing. He says if you want something bad enough, you can make any sum work budget wise. Ne? I say for my old dad, you can elke som maak werk, Jolene. And that's the truth. Have you ever tried buying a house or a new car? All of a sudden, we can eat patats for a week. You know, the kids don't really need food. You know. Our budget can make it work. If you want something bad enough, then you will want to make it work. But I want to challenge us this morning, if God has placed you in a place, even when it's difficult, don't just up and out. Because God is saying, I can bless you right there. I want to bless you right there. I'm going to read another part of Ross's blog. Our culture pressures us to chase after opportunities, hoping it will leave us better off. But the wisdom of stability teaches us that God is here where we are, and He will bless us for the sake of His mission. The good life is not out there somewhere. The good life comes from God, and He is with you. Hey, we prayed with very good friends of ours a while back. They are wrestling through a decision about what God wants them to do is to stay at the current place and job that they're at, or if they should go join the family farming business. And as we were praying all the time, I just felt God saying, tell them I'm with them either way. Tell them, make the decision. I'm committed to you, not so much where you are at. You know, and with that, I'm not saying sometimes God calls you to go somewhere. So don't hear what I'm not saying. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But there's a beautiful example of how God feels and how committed He is to us as His children. And if you are a mom and dad, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Whether William, my son, or my girls, whether they play tennis or hockey, I don't really care what you do. Do you understand? I'm going to support you because you are mine. What I want you to do is to do it excellently and to be a good sportsman and to do, do you get what I'm saying? I'm interested in your character. I'm interested, are you living a godly life there where you are at? But whether it's on the tennis ball court or the netball court, I don't really care. And I think sometimes God is saying, you need to know that I'm committed to you because you are my son, you are my daughter. And there's a beautiful example of this King David, 1 Kings. You'll see there, 1 Kings 8. It's amazing. I always thought God told David to build him a temple. In the end, he didn't build the temple, but his son Solomon built it. But you're going to see here, we pick up the story. This is where King Solomon is actually dedicating this temple, this amazing big temple that he built in Jerusalem. He's dedicating it to the Lord. And here he says, since the day that I brought my people, Israel, out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. So God is saying, I didn't choose no city. We all know that. God is saying, I didn't choose. But listen here. But I chose David. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't choose a place. I chose a man. And he's almost saying, look what I found in the heart of a man. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, of my father David, to build me a temple. And he carries on. But isn't this amazing? It's a bit mind-boggling, isn't it? Because God is basically saying, I didn't want a temple. I wanted to be with my people. I chose David, and once I looked into David's heart, what did I find? Oh, he wanted to build me a temple, and so the temple was built. But what I want us to see here is that God is saying, I'm committed to David. I chose, and this morning, I feel God is saying, I've chosen you, and you need to believe that I am with you in whatever challenging situation you are in. You need to know that you are my son, you are my daughter. Even though it's difficult there, I can and I will and I want to bless you there. Does that make sense? And then verse 8 and 9, back to Jeremiah 29, we see there, and this is where if you want something bad enough, you can get it. I'm just going to touch on it quickly. But what's going on here is that there are other prophets in Babylon that is saying to the Jews that no, God is saying you're gonna be free one of these days, you're gonna go back to Jerusalem, you don't need to be in captivity anymore because the Lord is gonna free you and release you. But God is saying those prophets are not from me. And I don't wanna go into this besides the fact that I felt to say that you need to test every prophetic word. Guys, we really have to take responsibility for I want us and we are a prophetic church and I will encourage it until the day I die. Because that's how God speaks. But each of us has responsibility to whether you receive a word from somebody with a microphone or just somebody else sitting in church. You need to test it. You need to wrestle it through with the Lord. You need to take it to Him and say, God, I received this word. Is this from you? Isn't it from you? Is it something that I need to park because maybe it's for next season? Or is it something I need to flush? Flush down the toilet, ne? Was flush them, okay? But I want to encourage you guys. Richard preached a wonderful message on wisdom. Take your prophetic words. Guys, this is what I feel God is saying to your small group, to the people that's in your group of friends where you can get some counsel. Because once you are in captivity, when it's difficult, your heart, Proverbs says, our hearts are deceitful. Really, it is. Ask somebody in love. Oh, no, he is the best thing since he's got no faults. Nix problemini. And then you introduce him to your friends and they're like, what about that? And yeah. Nia, you don't see nothing. Why? Because our hearts, when our emotions are involved, it's difficult to hear from the Lord. It's not, and I want to encourage, there's nothing wrong with you. That's why God says be in a community, be in a group of praying people where you can go and ask, this is really tough. I really struggle with my colleagues, with my job. What do you feel God is saying? I think God is saying I must go. And they might say, you know what? I don't actually think, because I can see there's a bit of a cycle. There's a pattern in your life. Every couple of years, once it gets too difficult, you move on. I feel for some of you, it's maybe relationally, even with friendships. Once they get a little bit too close, it's church, it's not this, friends, I'm upping and outing. And God is saying, I want to get people closer. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. And God is saying, I'm not so much interested in the destination. I'm interested in the journey because I want your character to be developed. Because God wants to get you to the destination and He wants to bless you. But if your character can't handle it, then it's going to crush you and He loves you too much. So I feel for some of you, God is saying, you need to stick in this community. If this is not your community, find a community. Set down roots. Get uncomfortable. Have the difficult conversations. I'm really upset. I don't want to see you Sunday, so I stay away from church. And God is saying, that's when you need to go. Why? Because that is how we live. But this mobile culture Ross speaks about is, when you upset me, when you offend me, I'm out of here. I go find another church, another job, another friend, another husband and wife. And God is saying, stay in your marriage. If you feel that's your captivity, I promise you it's not. Your husband and your wife is not the one you're running from. You're going to find yourself in the next relationship again. But I want to encourage you guys. We need to work it out and it's difficult and sometimes it's uncomfortable, but God is saying in your captivity, I can and want and will bless you, but you need to stay there. You need to build homes. You need to have babies. You need to plant vineyards. That's long term. That's saying I'm committed. You know how we live? Sometimes you get to somebody that lives in a, who's had a rental house? Oh, no, let me not do that. We've rented homes for many a year. And every time we get to the new house, the garden looks terrible. I mean, tenants just don't look after a garden, eh? They don't. And then we would fix up the garden and do everything, grass, make it look nice. And then a couple of years later, because we had another baby and another baby and another one, we would move on. And every now and again, we go back past that house and we see, we fixed up that whole garden and the next guy's just let it go again. And you know, and I feel God is saying that's how we live our lives. I'm not here permanently, so why should I fix or look after the garden? Why should I? And God is saying, no, set down roots, look after the garden. Make it your own. Does that make sense? Then the last point, verse 7 says there, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. This city, Babylon, is not a Jewish city. They do not have a municipal manager who praises Jesus on a Monday morning. They don't have a principal, maybe, that says Jesus is Lord. But God is saying, seek the peace of the city and pray to the Lord for it. For what? For the city of Babylon, for in its peace, you will have peace. That's challenging, eh? That's challenging. But God is saying we're going to speak about first the seek and then the pray. That's the last little bit that I'm going to share this morning. But seeking the peace of the city. Let's speak about city first, okay? We know Babylon was a pagan city, but let's make it more personal. Our city is Franschhoek, okay? But your city and my city, it can be my home is my city, my job, my church. Those are all cities. So when you read city, think you've got different cities in your mind. Where my kids go to school, that's one of my cities. That God is saying, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. So there where I have placed your kids, seek the peace of that school. I want to ask us, what are we doing with the schools that our kids go to? Are we helping? Are we taking the hands of the teachers? Or are we the ones that's just complaining? What are we doing? Are we seeking the peace? Are we saying, I'm taking hands? Because most of the school, the teachers are exhausted. They work so hard. The public schools are overcrowded. It's a really tough job. And I tell you, when the parents get involved and the parents, we are going to help. We are going to make the school better. We're going to help, whether it's praying for the teacher, whether it's taking the teacher a cup of coffee, whether it's helping with the gardening, whatever it is, are we seeking the peace of the city where God has placed us? I want to ask us, what are we doing in Franschhoek? Are we actively looking to make our town better? Or are we on social media just complaining? What's up in Franschhoek? Huh? Yo, people get nasty. But are we, God is saying, if we seek the peace of the city where he has placed us, there's a key, for in its peace, you will have peace. Guys, when Franschhoek prospers, when our town prospers, God is saying, not financially only. Yes, I want the businesses, and we're going to pray for business owners this morning. I want our businesses to prosper. Because God is saying, the NIV actually says, seek the peace and the prosperity and the welfare of the city. Peace, prosperity, welfare. That means money, but wealth, prosperity is also relational. The people in the families in our town, are we blessed? Are we taking responsibility saying, I'm seeking the welfare of my neighbor? Do I even know my neighbor? Or do I just rush in and out of home? Because I don't know how long I'm going to be here, so why should I build a relationship? But God is saying, seek the peace of your neighborhood. Seek the peace of wherever you are at. Because in its peace, you will get peace. You will be blessed. You will find peace. And then the last thing is, are we praying? That's tough. The Lord has really been challenging me about my, Richard's preached such a good message on speaking life. Oh, it's challenging. When I say good, it's more challenging. I'm sitting here and I'm like, yarakzakolimia. How much of my words am I speaking or complaining, or am I actually taking it to the Lord and am I praying about it? And to be honest, I pray much less than I talk to my friends or to Richard or I complain about things. And you know where I've realized that this last week even, the roadworks, the roadblocks, huh? Ne? How many times that stop and go? I'm like, oh, not another stop and go. I drive to Stellenbosch many times a week, and it's significantly lengthened my trip to school and back. At that, Rusina Rai work. See, everybody going to Stellenbosch or to Paul is even worse. Paul is bad. It's up to an hour nowadays. And as I was going, and I'm like, oh, you're going to be late for tennis. I felt the Holy Spirit say, are you going to say thank you, Jesus, that there are people fixing the roads? Are you going to say thank you, Jesus, that these people get up early in the morning and they work till late at night because they're making our city, our little town, better? Or are you going to complain? And to be honest, I was in the complaints department. And I had to say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And I realized I've got three little kids in the car. Not so little anymore. What happens? I complain, they complain. Oh, the road works. And I'm like, why does a nine-year-old even care about the road works? They don't. But they hear me. They heard my mouth doing this. So I repented. And then I said to them, guys, I'm really sorry. We shouldn't have said that. You know, these people, and I could tell them, Opa Art, he stays in the Free State. Our roads do not want to look like that. That is not a well-looked-after city. Those potholes are not great. You can't even drive at night because you're going to lose your car. Yet here, they work. Guys, are we blessing the people? They're standing there in the wind, in the rain, in the sun, and we go and we look, when is it our turn? I was saying, God bless you. Guys, bless you for making our town better. So I wanna end this morning. I'm sorry if it feels a little bit challenging. It's challenging to me. But I felt there are business owners. Before we get there, I feel for some of us, you're doing your job and you're going to work and you're doing the bare minimum and you're doing really only what's required of you. And I feel God is saying, what are you doing? Are you seeking to improve that business? Even though it's not yours, because these people, the Jews, were carried away captive. And God is saying, in Babylon, I want you to seek the peace of the city who's not yours. They're not Christian. And I felt God is saying, for some of you going to work, God is saying, I want you to work as if it's your business. That's how I want you to work. I want you to not just go, do the bare minimum, get the paycheck and go home and start looking for another job. But I feel God is saying, I want you to work to improve, to leave that place a better place when I've called you to carry on. That's challenging. It's challenging when we feel I don't get paid to do this. I told Richard that the other day. I said, you don't pay me enough to do that. He kind of just looked at me and said, I think you need to look at your heart. Sorry, I repent. But many of us have that attitude. You don't pay me enough to do that. But God is saying, seek the peace of the city where I've called you to. And even when it feels that I am in captivity here, God is saying, I can and I will and I want to bless you. In that captivity, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the word that's come through the whole time this morning. God is saying, there where you are at, there where it's difficult, there I want to give you a hope. There I want to give you a future. We're going to pray for a couple of people. But before we pray, I feel to honor the business owners. Are there business owners? If you own a business, you are responsible for a business. Why don't you just stand up, all the business owners? I just felt this morning, I felt to honor you guys. To say thank you for creating jobs. Thank you for standing more. I think there's more of you that need to stand. Thank you for creating jobs to make our town, our nation, a better nation. Guys, we don't know what business owners go through. The stress, the worry, month end, I need to pay X amount of salaries. And that's not just the employees, the people that work there. They know they are responsible for families. So I want to honor you guys and I want to say thank you. Thank you that you are stepping out, that you are creating jobs, that you are making our city better. So I want us to, just for a moment before we close, won't we just stretch out a hand and we're just going to bless them. I actually feel that there's maybe somebody, if your husband or your friend is not here and you want to stand proxy for them, you can do that as well. Proxy is you stand in their place, okay? So if that is you, you're welcome to do that. We're just going to bless them. Father, we bless these businesses, God. We thank you, God, for brave women and men that saying, I want to make the city a better place. I want to create jobs. I want it to prosper, God. We bless the businesses in our town, God. We bless the businesses that's represented here this morning, God. We bless them, God, with strategy in Jesus' name, Lord. We bless them with the finances to do what they need to do, God. We bless them, God, with wisdom, God. Lots of wisdom, God, whether this decision or that decision. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray, Lord, for the tricky, just the tricky relational questions and struggles that they might have at work, Father. We ask, God, that you would just anoint them, Lord, to, I just see some of you, you've got bolle wol, it's all tangled up. And you don't know where to start untangling it. And I feel God is saying, I'm anointing you, and I see your hands are full of oil, the oil of anointing. And as you touch this tangled mess, I just feel it's all going to just dissolve. So, Father, we thank you for your anointing that rests on them to just, just make difficult things become easy, Lord. So we bless the businesses, God, to go from glory to glory. God, we bless the businesses who's not represented here this morning, but in Franschhoek, Father. We bless our town's businesses, God. We, Father, we choose this morning to speak life over the business community in our town, over the farms, Lord, over the guest houses, Lord, over every shop, Lord, even the bigger shops, the Checkers, the Pick and Pay, the Woolworths, God. We bless them in Jesus' name, God. We say, be prosperous in Jesus' name, God. And we thank you, God, that we will be a town and a community that will not break down but build up our businesses, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. I actually felt Yaku. We must pray for Yaku as well. He's the principal of... Sorry. Yaku, can you just stand? We're just going to pray for you. Yaku means stansometum. He's the principal of Franschhoek High. So maybe if you can just stretch out your hands to him. Father, we thank you for a man and a woman that's standing in our community, Father, and saying, we're going to make this school, Father, a better school for our children, God. We bless him, Father, and them with peace in their house, Lord. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you'll give him wisdom, Lord, with every single decision, Father. We thank you, God, that as he runs after you, as he seeks you, God, that it will filter through that whole school, Lord. Thank you, God, that as that school and those children are transformed, Lord, that homes will be transformed, God, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you. I just feel Yaku, God is saying you're not busy with a job only, but you are transforming a whole little town. You are transforming as you're stepping out and saying, I'm doing this because God has called me to do this, Father. So we lift up their arms, Father, and when they grow tired, Father, and say, oh, this is a lot, I'm getting tired, God, and we just come and we just blow wind in their sails, God, and we just say, don't stop, in Jesus' name, God. We as a community, Father, even for, I feel for some of us that's got kids in that school, I thank you, God, that we will commit to pray for them. That we will not break down our principal, God, but that we will pray for him, God. We will pray for the teachers in that school, and we will commit, Father, to support and give life where we can, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I felt that second song, See the Goodness of the Lord in the Land of the Living. If you can come prepare. We're going to end with this song. The second song they sang, it says there that I felt we must sing it and declare it, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land that I'm living in. That is God's heart, and God is saying, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. But there's some of you that I feel that's really going through a tough time, like Stefan said, and you're saying, okay, I know this is where I need to be, but it's really hard, and that's okay. And for some of you, you've just grown tired, and I feel God is saying, that's also okay. But and that's why I'm going to ask our ministry team just to come and stand in front. If that is you and you're saying, I know I need to stay in whatever your city is, whether it's a job or a relationship or even this physical town, and you feel God has called you here, but it's difficult, and I want to encourage you to come to the front, to come to one of the ministry team members and just to ask him, can you pray for me? I'm tired. I feel weary. I know I need to stay in this thing, but I'm tired. Does that make sense? That's why we come together. I think it was Pastor Jade that said last week, there are certain holes we can't get ourselves out of. We need a community of believers. We need each other to come around and to say, I know you can't, but I can. I've got faith this morning. I've got hope. Does that make sense? So if we can all stand, I can ask the ministry team members to just come to the front. You can just line up here behind me. So Father, we thank you, God, that you are so good. Lord, we thank you, Father, that in our challenging situations, God, that you are much more committed to us than we will ever realize, God. And I pray, God, this morning, Father, that as we declare that I will see the goodness of the Lord, I pray, God, that you will start opening our eyes to see that you are with us in whatever challenging situation I am in, that you are right there, God. And I pray, Father, for hope to be renewed, Lord, for us to know, God, that if you are with us, God, then there's nothing else we need, Father, in Jesus' name. So as we're going to sing this, I want to encourage you, if you feel, I just need somebody to pray with me, agree with me, pick one of the ministry team members and just ask them to agree with me. Does that make sense? All right. Amen. Go into this week, Father, that our mouths will agree with that truth, Lord. Yes, Father, I pray that we will see the way you see, God. In Jesus' name, amen.